Turn your Bibles, Genesis 49. God doesn't vary. We vary, but he doesn't vary. It feels like he varies. Because sometimes you're on high with him and sometimes you're on low and you feel like he's vary. He doesn't vary. He's the same. His love is the same. Now, whether you can attain it every day, he's still the same. His love is very full. When you come to where he is, it's always that way. I'm learning that. I'm also learning the enemy will try to distract you from that realm and he'll try to cloud over that realm. But if you'll make it through, God doesn't vary. His glory is always full. His love is always full. So we can't allow the circumstances of life to keep us from the living God. Amen. This generation is a prophetic generation, an apostolic generation, and we must rise above and overcome in all things. Amen. We must overcome to dwell with God, to dwell in perfect love and to dwell in his glory and to dwell so the kingdom can come into the earth. Amen. I want to share something we were in the other day. Actually, Sharon shared this part on Sunday and talking about Benjamin. 49 verse 27 says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoil. Sharon did a really good job on this Sunday. Actually, that is speaking of the whole day of Benjamin. That one day speaks of the whole generation of Benjamin. Benjamin was the final son. I believe that we are the Benjamin generation. The final sons. There's so much about Benjamin that speaks about this generation. His name in itself is son of the right hand. And so notice in the morning, he said he'll raven as the wolf. That's how God kind of finds us. He said, notice in the morning he would devour the prey. He's all in it for himself. When there's prey, he's going to devour it because that's what self does. Isn't it amazing how God begins this generation with Benjamin? He'll begin with those that are completely inundated with self, completely inundated with the world system. They will devour everything in sight. It's kind of like the prodigal. He devoured his living. He'll devour everything because the nature of self has no restraint. Some people are better at restraining it, but it's self is self. Whether you restrain it or not, it's still there. But notice by nighttime or the end of the day or the end of the generation, as Benjamin matures through the generation, he matures through the day, he changes, his nature changes. He changes not only to one that's inundated with self, but he changes to one that is a leader now. He's actually leading. And notice what it says, he divides the spoil now. Notice self is gone. He's a divide of the spoil. Instead of me, myself, and I, he divides now. He's a leader. He's coming to full age. He's coming into the love of God. And he's dividing the spoil now. He's preferring others above himself. He's become a servant to the pack. Amen. At first he was in it for himself and now he's a servant. See, that's the inheritance of Benjamin. And we see that in dividing the spoils also at governmental operation of Benjamin. And you see that, and that goes right along the lines. That was Jacob's. That was what Jacob spoke over. It was actually a blessing. He spoke that he would mature. He would come out of a life dominated by self into a life dominated by love and a life, and he would mature into the glory of God. That's what he's saying. Moses basically said the same thing in his blessing over Benjamin in Deuteronomy 33. This verse alone will launch you, if you know how to interact with it, it will launch you into the glory. It will launch you into the love of God. It will launch you into the fullness of God. It says of Benjamin, Deuteronomy 33, 12, he's the beloved of the Lord. Now he's picking it up now. He's not the wolf anymore. Moses is picking him up about halfway through here. He's not the wolf that's devouring the prey. He's the beloved of the Lord. Now, Benjamin has found his position now. He's beloved. We'll have to come to this place in this hour Now, God is releasing a lot of this all over the body of Christ about his love, the Father's love, and the sons are growing up. We have to do more than just be able to receive the love. We have to grow in his love. We have to come to where the Father is. There's a time the Father comes to us, just like any father. He's coming to us, but he wants us to come to where he is. And that's where the full treasure of his love is. It's just full all the time. I mean, this week I've just hit this realm with the Father, and it's just, he's on go all the time. I mean, it's not without warfare. Don't misunderstand me. But see, your faith will rise above the circumstances of life. Your faith will rise above the enemy. When you have God on your heart and mind, you'll talk about God. When you have second heaven warfare on your heart and mind, that's all you talk about. Now, the second heaven warfare is a fact. The enemy is going to fight. When you're a son of the right hand of God, you're going to rise up out of that. And you're going to dwell where God is. When you dwell where God is, you'll be full. Your mouth will be full of God. Your vision, your compass will be full of God. You won't be always talking about what the devil did this, the devil did that. He really can't keep you there. You may think he can. Because when he comes in, he feels like he's going to overpower you. But if you will learn to engage your faith properly and effectively, you'll rise above him. I don't even fight him. I just ignore him, but I go above. I'm not in denial that he's there, but I'm not going to sit there and waste all my energy fighting him, because I know if I get to a certain place, he can't go there anyway. If I get high enough, he breaks off anyway. So why am I going to engage all my energy and my strength fighting him? That doesn't go over very well in the spiritual warfare bunch. But it goes over very well in the right hand of God bunch. Amen? Because we have an inheritance to go high. Say high. See, Benjamin, he's the beloved of the Lord. Most of the time when you begin to fellowship with God, you don't feel very beloved. How many of you ever start out in prayer and you're not feeling nothing? Raise your hand. Sometimes you feel the whole opposite. You don't go at that point by your feelings. You're going by faith and by his word. Amen. You're going to keep that word in your heart. You're going to keep on and keep on and keep on until it breaks the veil open. And notice that he's the beloved of the Lord. He rests secure in God. He shields him all the day long. And then he graduates him into the place of the shoulders, or the governmental place of the shoulders. He said what the government should rest, what? Shoulders is a place. It's a very high place. Think about being on, remember as your dad carried, your mom carried you upon their shoulders. Remember how good you felt when you were higher? I mean, you felt secure up there. That's the kind of like that, but the shoulders is a governmental place of God. It's the government shall be and rest upon his shoulders. The key at house of David would be upon his shoulders. There's a lot in the room of the shoulder. It's a governmental room, but Benjamin didn't end there. I mean, he didn't start there. He ended there. But notice he went from a wolf, I mean, a ravenous wolf of self, servitude, all the way into fullness of love. All the way in, then, into fullness of love, he went into a governmental operation of God, an operation of the glory of God. Notice that progression. We as a generation are going to make that whole progression. Believe it or not, we are going to make that progression. Amen. We're the final generation. We will be a governmental people, kings and priests, ruling and reigning in the earth. But we're going to have to overcome. But we in ourselves are not going to overcome. Christ has already overcome for us. We're going to enter into his victory. We're going to enter into his strength, his position. The Father's love is going to help a lot of things in this life. Amen. We'll have to access it. So in our quest, as the Spirit of the Lord opened a whole realm here recently about joint heir kingship and all of that. And, but boy, I tell you what, he introduced this realm of the love of the Father in our journey into the place where we rule and reign with him. And it is full, say full. So I want you to, if you would go to John 14. And the rule and reign with him, we cannot be like the prodigal that runs. God's going to conquer your running. You may not run with your feet, but your heart may run. You get in enough pressure, you want to run. You want to run out of your position. We're not going to be like that. God's going to conquer the running. Say, Father, conquer my runnings. Nor are we going to be like the elder son that's in the house all the time, but doesn't know the Father. Amen. And because of that jealousy, control, I mean, he was always, he didn't know who he was. So every time God was wanting to bless the prodigal for coming home, and he had a problem with that. When you don't know who you are, you'll have a problem with someone else's blessing. When you don't know who you are, and God starts shining his light on somebody else, that won't go well for you. Because you'll be wondering, why is he doing it for me? Because you don't know who you are. But the whole time, what did the father say? I mean, he wouldn't even go in the house. The older son wouldn't even go in the house. He stood outside. I mean, talk about immature, independent, unloving, controlling, full of jealousy. But he'd been in the Father. He'd been around the Father, but he didn't know him. You know what the Father said to him? All that I have, even in that case, even in that state, he said, all that I have is yours. Did you think, why do you think God would say something like that to somebody like that? You think, wait till we get to perfect, and then all that he has is ours. You know, God, he doesn't vary. All that he has is ours. The prodigal, he didn't vary in his image of the prodigal. The first thing he did is he reclothed him right on the spot. Didn't even demand that he repent. Just started clothing him right there. That's the way our Father is. But we don't always know that because we live in a world where the enemy's constantly warring against our identity, constantly warring against us. And we come to the Father. Sometimes we have the world on us. Sometimes we have our own mistakes on us. Sometimes we have things that we're coming and we're feeling all of that. And you're trying to get into the presence of a loving God and you're feeling very unloved. That's why God designed for you to go to him by faith. Because faith doesn't account what you feel. Faith accounts only truth. Amen. And going by truth. So faith puts feeling aside until you get to the place where you can feel. Sometimes you have to faith it until you can feel it. Most people want to feel it. Then they say, I'll faith it. You got to faith it before you feel it. Because God knows in your progression to him, sometimes you're going to have to unload some stuff. Well, go to 1 John 4. Then we'll go to John 14. This is really good. The thing about moving in faith, you have to know what the Word of God says. Because there's a realm in the Father. Now, he was letting me hit it before, but we were mapping all that up there. And so I couldn't stay there very long. About the time I wanted to write a book on an area, we moved to the next area. The Lord, I was struggling. I said, Lord, I really like to write some books on these things. He says, it's not going to do any good until where you get to where you need to go because you're not going to be in that area very long. When you're mapping, you get to see it enough to map it and move on. But now we get to dwell. Say dwell. Now he's going to teach us how to dwell. Dwelling with the Father is probably without doubt the greatest place in all of the right hand of God. It's just glorious. He's glorious. 1 John 4, it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, verse 15, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So there's your entrance, confessing he's the Son of God. God comes to dwell in him, and then he dwells in God. Notice verse 16, we have known, say, we've known and believed the love that God has to us. The first thing about the love of the Father, you have to know that he loves you, and you have to believe that he loves you. Number one thing that takes people out is unworthiness and unbelief concerning the love that the Father has. And because the systems of this world will con and your enemy and people will try to cover you over. They will cause a breach. And because of that, you'll feel certain ways. And though you feel it, it may seem like truth to you, but it's not truth. But it may feel that way. And many times when you're going to fellowship with God and you're in the midst of warfare or in your midst of a situation, you're in the midst of strife or you're in the midst of all manner of evil being signed against your life, sometimes it's very hard to breach through all that. And some of that stuff will never try to clothe you. And you're trying to go, you don't feel very love. You don't feel very love. Sometimes you not even act like you walk in love. Sometimes the old man comes out. I'll tell you, one of the greatest revelations is the prodigal son. He's out there riotous living. You realize what he was doing? He just didn't squander his wealth. He was running with prostitutes, riotous living, and the father ran to him. Just as soon as he wanted to turn back, the father ran to him. God does not vary, but we vary a lot. He lost his image of a son. He wanted to come back as a servant, and God said, no. Do you know Moses was called a servant in God's house in Hebrews? But Christ was a son. Or it's Hebrews 3, Christ was a son over his own house. Whose house are we? Say sons. We're the house of sons. The house of sons. Amen. We've known and believed the love the Father has to us. Now, if you want to make access in the Father's love, there are going to be times you're not going to feel lovely. There are going to be times you're not acting very lovely. But you, every one of us, need the Father's love on a daily basis. Every part of your being will respond to it, from your soul, your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit. You were made to be loved by love that comes from Him in such abundance. Everything the enemy says about Him is a lie. Everything he makes you feel about him that day is a lie. God is full of love all the time. His requirement. Now, when you're a baby, he's going to come to where you are. But when you start growing up, and that's where we are, we have to grow into his love. We have to learn to penetrate the veil and go to where he is, where that fullness is flowing all the time. It's what it says, God is love. He is. He is love. And he that dwelleth, notice where it dwelleth, in love. God doesn't want us just to be love. He wants us to dwell in him. Dwell. We don't. There's certain parts of our life, ministers, it doesn't matter, layperson. It doesn't matter. They're preserved, burned alive. When we're not properly loved, there are parts of us that kind of break down. We don't function properly. We don't function soulishly. We don't function in our society through our soul properly. We don't. Our bodies don't even function sometimes properly. You'd be amazed when the Father loves you, how your body responds to it. Your mind responds to it. Your heart responds to it. Your countenance responds to it. Your interaction, your social interaction responds to the love of God. Sometimes when you're not loved properly, you want to go hide. Sometimes when you're not loved properly, you want to put on a facade that makes you feel loved. And put on a face in front of people that's not truth. Because that's the first thing that happened with Adam. And when the love of God was breached, what did they do? They went and hid. They try to cover themselves. We try to cover up, but you can't cover up. And the hiding, we want to hide, and that causes things to grow worse. Because the longer we try to hide, the more stuff gets in between us. The one thing that God hates is separation. He hates separation. He doesn't like being separated from you. He didn't even like dwelling in the tabernacle. That's as close as he could get to Old Testament saints. He came down into the tabernacle. That, he says, the blood of bulls and goats, it's not enough. He wanted to dwell in us. And he wanted us to dwell in him. That's how close he wants to be. Now, your emotions and the things when you're trying to approach that realm and trying to approach his love and trying to approach this realm of glory, there's a lot of things in you that'll feel that separation. The enemy will try to put that separation on you. People will put it on you. You'll feel that, but you are more than a conqueror. And when you feel that, you keep plowing through. But you gotta want him. This is not for the faint of heart. But this realm, he's so full, and I'll tell you, it's explosive in there. Wow! How quick he can do things in your life when you're with him on a consistent basis like that. I'm not talking about laying down before the Lord listening to some music. I am talking about dwelling in fullness of love, dwelling in love, dwelling in him. The more you get, the more you want. I did a few drugs in my lifetime. I did a few addictive drugs in my lifetime. I tell you, there is nothing as addicting as his love. John 14. When you go in by faith, the glorious thing about faith, what I found, if you go in by encounter, and everyone encounters the love of God, everyone encounters the presence of God, the Spirit of God, you encounter angelic realms, you can encounter all kinds of things in the kingdom. When you go in by encounter, it's hard to know how to go back to that place because you encountered it. But if you go in by faith, and your faith took you in there, like I'm going to show you tonight, if your faith goes in there, your faith can take you right back to the same place. Your faith will deliver you right back into the same place each time. Right back in there. One thing I know, the sons of Benjamin are going to come into the fullness of God's love. We are not going to be dysfunctional sons wearing a crown, ruling and reigning with him. He's going to have the dysfunction purged from us. We're going to be sons of the right hand of God in full stature, in the fullness of the Father's love, and then we'll wear the crown. And we'll wear it properly. Because we wear it with the Father's love, you're not going to fall under the weight of it. If you wear a crown with God under dysfunction, you'll fall fairly quickly. When we wear it with the Father's love, we'll rule and reign with him. And we will stay. And we will be steady. We'll move from glory to glory. Amen. Our steps will not slip. So listen, when you're going to approach God like this, and you're going to approach him, And if it's your objective to dwell there every day, you're going to have to know a few things. Because there's going to be a lot of forces that are going to try to resist you. You're going to have to know a few things about how to get into that place with him. It's the call of the overcomers. It's the call of the Benjamin generation to come up. Because the crown is on the other side of the Father's love. Glory be to God. To do that, we have to know. We have to have his word hidden in our heart. You got to know, what are you going to do when you feel unlovely? What are you going to do when you feel unlovely and you're acting unlovely and feeling unlovely, but you're trying to come into the presence of a loving God? What are you going to do when everything about you doesn't feel like that place? You're going to have to be armed with truth. I said this the other day, you got to know, when I go unto the Lord, I said, I am accepted in the Beloved. Sometimes what I'm not feeling is that I'm found in you, not having my own righteousness. I'm not having my own. I'm entering into yours, Lord. I'm coming through you. You present me faultless. What does the Bible says? He presents you faultless before the presence of his glory. The Lord doesn't see you the way you see you. The greatest detriment of entering into God, the biggest problem of all, is we don't see ourselves the way God's seeing us. God has got his arms open wide, say, come on through. And we're fighting all the things we fight. And truth is going to penetrate that veil. His word will penetrate the veil. And when we walk in according to his word, you're going to make it. And you're going to make it every time. The Lord was on a mission. He died for you, not just to save you. That was stage one. He died to restore you and reconcile you unto the Father. John 14:1. John, if you want to really understand the book of John, it's a huge compass to the Father's heart. I mean, in chapter one, he goes, no man has seen God, but I've come from the bosom of the Father, the heart of the Father. I dwell in the heart of the Father, and I'm here to declare him to you. That's chapter one. It's a whole compass, and the meat of that compass begins in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. If you want to get skilled, you get those chapters in you. You get that compass in you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's talking to the Jews. Believe also in me now. Believe in me. He says, in my Father's house are many dwellings, say dwelling places. Many dwelling places, say dwelling. He has one for you. He has one for you. He has a dwelling place for you. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go. Listen, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father. I'm going to, now listen to this, go to prepare a place for you in the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Now notice this, receive you unto myself, that where I am in the Father, you shall be also. Where I am, there shall you, where I am dwelling in the Father, where I dwell, you dwell. Where I go, you go. That's his promise. I'm going to prepare a place. Where I am in this place, there shall you be also. You can use that in your progression to the Father. Where you are, Lord, there shall I be also. It's really true what Tina was saying. We're not, I don't know how she said it, but she said, we're not going there, we're there. Because positionally, we're already there. It's just the rest of us got to get caught up to where he's already positionally given us. Where I am, in the Father, in the love of the Father, there shall you be also. Where I go, you know, in the way, you know, oh, Thomas. Bless Thomas. Thank God for Peter and Thomas. The one that made all the mistakes. Thomas turned out to be a pretty powerful guy. He went to India, you know. Had mass revivals in India. So Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know it's not whether you go. How can we know the way? Notice what he said, I am the way. Now this, he goes, I am the truth. I am the life. No man's coming into the Father outside of the way, outside of the truth, outside of the life. He goes, I am that truth. You got to come through truth. Come through the truth. Come by way of the way. He's lining it out. Come in me. Come through me. I'll make the way. Come through the truth that I'll give you. Come through the life. Come my way. And you'll make it. Does Jesus want you in the presence of the Father? Does the Father want you in the... So God is for you in this. I'm telling you about two or three sessions in the love of the Father. A lot of your issues would be fixed just right there. You're three sessions away from being fixed. But you know what? Those sessions can elude you. Because you have a very skilled enemy that can keep you in church all your life, but out of that place. Notice verse 27. This is very powerful. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, 14 and 27, let not your heart be troubled. When you're in the presence of the Lord, there is no trouble. You can leave trouble and go into peace. The amazing thing is, when your faith gets strong enough, your faith will leave your trouble to go into God. You'll come back and you have a different perspective of your trouble. You have a different perspective. It's not as troubling as it was. I have found the enemy will trouble you over very small things. You'll get troubled, your soul will get all stirred up, your mind will get all stirred up, anxiety will get on you. And all this stuff you thought was important, once you come out of love of God, you're like, what was I so troubled about? Everything's fine. You know, you were going to call somebody and let them know how you feel. You come out of the love of God. You're fixing everything now. You come out of the love of God and say, hey, we're best friends. Do you know how much I love you? Before prayer, I wanted to bite you. Cujo wanted to come out. Listen, God can overcome your Cujo. If he overcame mine, I certainly he can overcome yours. Amen. I had quite a Cujo. Amen. Listen to verse 28. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I'll come again unto you. If you love me, I mean, you love him. Oh, okay. Here we go. If you love me, you would rejoice. I remember when he first shared that with me, I'm like, if I was a disciple and he's telling me I'm leaving, would you be happy if the Lord said he's leaving? You've been with him 3.5 years. He's been working miracles. He's the savior of the world. He's telling you I'm leaving you now. It's like you're 33 years old. You're 33 years old. What do you mean you're leaving me? You got a whole life ahead of you. Stay. Because if you love me, you would start rejoicing right now. That's what he said. He said a remarkable word here. He says, because, and this is why you rejoice. I said, I go unto the Father. Well, that's just great. We're real happy that you go to the Father and you leave us here. Thank you. Everyone lift their hands and say, hallelujah. Well, what he said, he goes, if you love me, you rejoice because I'm going to the Father. And he said something very remarkable. He goes, the Father is greater than I. If you love me, you'll understand that even being in my presence, as much as you enjoy me, the Lord's talking to his disciples, as much as you enjoy being in my presence, what I'm about to introduce you to is much and far greater than that. If you love me, you'll rejoice because my Father's greater than the one-on-one relationship you presently have with me. I'm about to introduce you to something greater. Does the Father want us to be with him? Go to John 16. All these things you can utilize in your approach to the Father's love. The Father's just got a lot of work to do in all of us to get us ready to rule and reign with him. It's going to be a quick work. This is not going to be a drawn out thing. The love of the Father is going to open wide for this generation. It's already opening, but it's the way we approach him and start moving. He said, I don't want you to just receive my love. I want you to grow. I want you to start coming in every day and growing up in. Say, growing up in. God knows what we need, and what we need to rule and reign is an anointing. But before that anointing, he needs to root us, ground us, develop us, prepare us in the fullness of his love. So we're carrying the weightiness of the kingdom under the fullness of his love. If we don't know how to access like that every single day, what makes you think you're going to access it when he puts an anointing on you? You know how many people fall when God gives them an anointing and they're not ready for? You know what? They stop fellowshipping with God and they start fellowshipping with that mantle that he puts on them. And the only time they ever get relief is when they're in that mantle. You know, when people live to just get in that mantle, they get in that mantle, they're Superman, they come out of that mantle, and they're just dysfunctional. They're tormented and dysfunction, and they get up in that mantle, and they're back in, and then when they come out, when people get in that cycle, they're destined to fall. It happens all the time. That's not the way God wants us to carry what he's putting upon the generation of Benjamin. That's not how we're going to carry the crown. We're going to carry it in the love of the Father. Amen. We're going to carry it. And he's opening the gates. So open right now. Wow. I had no idea. Don't underestimate the enemy's capacity to lie to you. He enslaves entire generations Principalities enslave people to believe those rats running around their house are part of their ancestral lineage. They won't kill the cow and eat because it's their uncle. He enslaves millions of people to believe things that are not true. Don't underestimate his ability to keep you out of the love of the Father. That's why you got to go through truth, not what you feel. You got to go truth and not through your lenses or what you think about yourself that day or what someone else just thinks about you. Someone just dumped on you and what they thought about you. You can't go through that lens either. You got to go through the truth, not the lens of way you view yourself on a daily basis, because your view and your lenses are going to change with the ebb and flow of circumstance and situation. But God's truth never changes. You're accepted all the time. His door is open all the time. The door of the Father is open all the time. The doorway to the kingdom is open. We get this idea, if I'm perfect enough, he opens the door. If I behave enough, he opens the door. Grace opens the door regardless. Was the Father's door open all the time to the prodigal son? Yes, but what limited him was his own lens. He didn't even think the Father would accept him as a son anymore. That's what happens when you get too far from the Father. You get too far from the Father, you'll start thinking some very incorrect things about him and the way he thinks about you. What I'm trying to say is your mind and your lens of your soul doesn't have the capacity to hold truth all the time. The truth is the truth. God accepts you all the time. Amen? Now listen to this. John 16, verse 25. I love this. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs. He was talking to them. He goes, but the time cometh. I love this verse. When I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. Listen to this. This is amazing. He's talking about a time coming. What time do you think he's talking about? The after cross time, post cross. After I'm resurrected, the time cometh I'm not going to talk to you in Proverbs once I go back to my Father. Notice what he says, I'm going to show you, verse 25, plainly of the Father. He said, there's a time coming when I leave you. I'm going to come back and get you, and then I'm going to not have to speak in Proverbs anymore. I'm just going to show you the Father. Wow. Say, show me the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal Jesus to you. Jesus is going to reveal the Father to you. He's going to show us the Father. So show us the Father. Show us the Father. He was in love with the Father. He wanted us to know him the way he knew him. Not only know him, he wanted us to sit in the same place he sat with him. He wanted us to be where he was and be where he is in the Father. And he wants that for you today. He's going to want that for you tomorrow morning in your approach to God. He's going to, next time you get on your knees to approach God, he's going to want that for you. He's going to want you to pass through the veil. He wants you to make it through. Because the day you learn to make it through all the stuff and you arrive in destination, perfect love, and you're swimming in love, then you swim again. One thing about when you're in the Father, it doesn't stop. In this realm, sometime he'll come and give you some, but when you go to where he is, it's just, I don't want to leave this. He goes, you don't have to. Have as much as you want. I mean, imagine that. Have as much as you want. See, we don't think like that. We think, just God, just give me a little bitty apple. A little cup. Fill half my cup. A taste, a drink, a sip. Ever had the presence of God come over you and the glory said, please don't lift. Please. When you go into where he is, you don't have to stop. He doesn't even think like that. He's not like that. He's got an abundance. You can sit there as long as you need to be there in him. You can dwell as long as you want to dwell until you're done. until you've had enough, until you're full? Would you leave your children hungry? Oh, well, you didn't do what I asked you today, so you get a half a cup of milk today. Would you do that? I couldn't even imagine not filling Carson up. We prepare for Carson. When it comes time for him to eat, we prepare for him to eat. He's like another mouth. He's like two mouths. We prepare. We don't even think about not having enough when he comes to the table. Because I know if we don't have enough, he's going to eat my portion too. God doesn't think like that. He's got enough for you. He's full, but you got to make it to him. But he's not the one supplying all that warfare you're going through. He's not the one putting up barrier after barrier. Those are just systems you got to deal with that govern this world. But he is the one calling you. He is the one calling you to oneness, calling you to the glory, calling you to his love, calling you to reconciliation. He's the one that gave his own son for us to dwell, not just to save us, so we could be restored in his love and his fullness so he can prepare us to rule and reign with him. Man, I was after that when he showed me that crown and he said, I want you to think like an heir. I want you to believe like an heir. I want you to believe like a joint heir king. I tried to go up in there. I tried to sit with him. I wasn't ready, but when I started moving through him in his love, he changes you. God the Father changes you. He helps you to grow up in fullness. He helps you to grow up. We're not going to sit in church for the next 25 years doing this, you know. We're going to grow up. His love is going to grow us up very quickly. Amen. He's going to develop us very quickly. And it's a joy to walk with him now. All the neediness is gone. It's just peace and love and fullness. Every day's a venture. You don't know what all is going to happen. You can't wait to get in there. I can't wait to see what the Father has today. I can't wait to just go and just be. Amen. Don't stop too soon. For those of you who like to lay before the Lord, do not do that. Put your little song on and lay before the Lord. You'll miss out. You got to get it in there. Then you can lay before him. You got to go. You're going to have to hold these words in your heart. John 17 is the biggest one. I'll just say a few things and I'll close. Let's move to John 17 real quick. I love verse 5. Very powerful verse. It says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, restore me to my place. Now, the Lord was talking to his Father. Restore me to the glory that I had with you in the beginning. Restore me into that. Glorify thou me, Father. And see, once he obtained that in his resurrection, then he turned around and invited you to come up to where he is. Then he calls us up to the oneness. The angels don't have that. Gabriel doesn't have that. Michael doesn't have that. The archangel does not have that. They don't have the oneness that we have. Is heirs. Do you know that? I'll say this, verse 13. You know the one, the scriptures. And now, verse 13, now come unto thee, Father, these things I speak in the world, that they may have, listen to this, my joy fulfilled in themselves. He said, Father, you're my joy. You're my unbelievable joy, Father. You're my wonderful joy. And now they're going to have my joy, this place that I hold with you, they're going to have that. I'm going to bring them to where I am and what I am in you, and I'm going to give them to them freely in oneness. They will be in us, they will be in me, and they will be in you, Father. We will dwell in the bosom. Now, I'll close with this. Go to chapter 20. Stop believing the lie. The first step to overcoming and dwelling with the Father is to begin to agree with what he said. Stop agreeing that you're unworthy. Stop. I don't care if you feel unworthy. Do not agree with that. You'll never make it in consistently if you feel unworthy. Don't do that. Agree with what he said. You're a bona fide heir. You're a son. You've been adopted into royalty. You have an inheritance and a right to dwell in the Father. Not according to your works. You have a right to dwell there because Jesus has already prepared it for you, and it's full of grace. Some holy, unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. Now say that when you don't feel like it. I mean, when you don't feel like it, say, I'm holy before you, Lord. I'm unblameable when everything's in you. See, you're not unblameable. I got five things against you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm unreprovable. Because you're not dwelling with him in your flesh. You're dwelling with him in your new creation. These are the first words when the Lord was resurrected. Imagine what he wanted to say when he come out of 3 days of being in hell. I'm sure he thought about what he wanted to say, and Mary was the first to meet him. And listen to what he said. Just amazing verses. John 20, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself. He said unto her, Mary. She turned. He said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go unto my brethren and say this to them. These are the first words he said. I ascend unto my Father and your Father. I ascend unto my God and your God. I ascend unto my Father now, and now he's your Father. I have made him your Father just like he's my Father. Go tell them I'm ascending. I'm going to come get them. Where I am, there shall they be also. To dwell in the fullness. Believe the word, not your circumstance. Believe the word, not your past imaging. Believe the word, not your filtration. Believe the word, and you'll start dwelling. And when you start ramping up into the Father, you're getting ready to move from glory to glory with him. We're all getting ready to move from glory to glory. Wow! Let's all stand. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father, for truth. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you for this wonderful place we have with you, Father. What you've given us, the reconciliation, be reconciled to you, Father. Such an amazing place. Such an amazing. We honor the Son, the way, the truth, and the life. You are our Father. You're our Father, and we love you. We have an inherited right to dwell with you where you are, in the fullness and the greatness of your love, Father, where you'll transform us all. You'll change us all. You'll transform us all into your image. Clothe us, Father, in the image. Clothe us in Christ. Clothe us. Clothe us in your fullness. Clothe us. Clothe us, Father, clothe us. Overshadow us. Grant us grace as everyone in here. It's been inspired tonight. Grant grace. Grant grace in their journey. Grant truth. Open the eyes of understanding. Grant the revelation of these words so these words can bring them to where you are. Let these words that have been sown in the heart, let these words bring them up all the way into where you are, Father. Let the words, the truth, let these words draw us up into thee, Father, to dwell, to abide. Oh, hallelujah to your great name.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.